Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We thank God for another Wednesday we can come and study the Word of God. Another Wednesday we can come and learn more about Him, because truly God is good and He's worthy to be praised. Another time that we can come in, amen, and enjoy the Word of God, because the Word of God, amen, helps us in our troubled time and also encourages us to press on no matter what's going on. We thank God for you, and especially you. We greet you in the mighty name of Jesus on behalf of our co-founder, senior leader, Archbishop UW Smith. We thank God for her. Thank God for bringing them back home, amen, from Ghana, where they had holy convocation, and they had an awesome time there. We thank God for her and her team making it back. Amen. We thank God for those who are here, who continue, amen, to let God use us to do what He helped us to do. We thank God for another day, spared us another time that we can say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, for sparing our lives, for giving us another chance, amen, to worship Him. And we greet Him in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank God for who He is. We thank God for what He's doing. We thank God for what He will do. Amen. If you let Him, He will make a way somehow, no matter what, amen, we're dealing with, no matter what we're going through. We thank God for another day that we can understand how God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. So I thank God today for another chance, amen, just to learn about Him. And then we're going to get started with a word of prayer. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Ann to start up with a word of prayer.
I want to give God glory and give Him praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Give God the glory.
Thank you, Lord,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For what He has done and what He is continuing to do.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we thank you right now. Bless you. We honor you, Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord God, that you're the great I am. You're the Prince of Peace.
Jesus.
You're the great deliverer, Lord. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that as we study your word today, we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, that we will be informed, oh God. We will be renewed, oh God. We will have more information concerning you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for your anointing. We thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord God, that as we go forth on today, Lord God, that we will learn more about you and we will be drawn closer to you, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you for each and every person that is here, those that are on the line, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your anointing upon us as we go through this Bible study. And, God, we thank you for it and we give you glory. We give you praise and we give you honor, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Clap glad hands for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for another day. Amen. That He is here. Amen. He's in our midst. And we thank God for everything that we're going to hear today. We give Him praise. We give Him honor. And we give Him glory in the name of Jesus.
Come on, clap your hands tonight. Listen.
When my work here is done and my race has been won, heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
When I've done my best and withstood the ultimate test, heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
Jesus went away to prepare a place for me, and when He comes again, that's where I'll spend eternity. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting.
Listen here. The time is growing now, when I'm about to say this world goodbye. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
Listen. The Lord is coming back. Gonna be
be soon and past the man. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting.
This is where we're going, y'all. Where the streets are made of gold, the gates are made of pearl. There'll be nothing but joy for me when I leave this door.
I heard a story about the man in front of the church. The preacher said, "Everybody want to go to heaven, ready? Get up and stand on your feet." This man in the front seat just sat down. Everybody jumping up. He said. Mm-hmm. Preacher said, "What's wrong with him?" He said again, "Everybody want to go to heaven? Jump up." He said, "So the preacher said, Speaking Lewis, why you ain't get up when I said it?" He said, "Sounds like you're trying to get a load today." I ain't ready to go to jail. I want to go, but I ain't trying to go. Amen. We greet you all. Thank you so much. Means a lot. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We thank God for it. Amen. We thank God for this word. Amen. And when you think about what Jesus done for us, the reward that we have is to spend eternity with him. And so the song say heaven is wait for us. Hallelujah. And sometimes we feel like we waiting on heaven more than heaven waiting on us, right? Because it gets tough sometimes out here. But the bottom line is we this ain't it. This is we are pilgrims traveling through. And where do we have a home? The Bible said the builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. So no matter how hard it gets here, no matter how difficult it gets here, no matter how much pain and discomfort we have here, we have hope beyond what we see right now. We have hope beyond what we're feeling right now. And so it gives us a joy in spite of, because this ain't it. You know, if we had already maxed out, then, you know, that's all you got, right? It's like a car that can only go 25 miles an hour. When you get 25 miles an hour and you need to pass somebody, you're in a fix, ain't you? But we got hope beyond even what we can see, because our hope is beyond the grave. Amen? And because our hope is not in what somebody told us, it's something that God himself made a promise. And he said, because I couldn't swear by nobody else. Hallelujah. Hiya. Hey, my God. I had to sweat by myself. Woo! Oh, my God. I tell you. And so we are privileged, and I count it a blessing that Jesus decided to die for me. He died for the world, but he died for me. I'm glad he died for the world, but I'm so glad he died for me. And not only that, he chose me. Before the foundation of the world, he chose me. Because everybody is not going to heaven. But why didn't Jesus sing a song that millions did not make it? But I was one of the ones who did. As long as I can make it to heaven, everything will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, my mom used to say, when we see Jesus, it'll be worth it all. Hallelujah, when we see Jesus. And so when Paul is telling these Roman church that we have to know that we're all reconciled back to God. We have been, we were formed by God. We were deformed by Adam. And now we're reformed by Jesus Christ. He brought us back and reconciled us to God, and we in right standing with God Almighty. I don't know if you ever did something at home, and you was on the bad list because you know you just did something, so you're under punishment, really, right? And all of a sudden, you were able to work that off. Some kind of way, your parents didn't say, "Okay, now you're back and right standing." Man, you feel like you're on top of the world. You know, you can't, you know, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you couldn't go nowhere. Everybody's going outside playing it, but you got to be in the house. You got, you know, you're under punishment, right? But now, all of a sudden, your parents say, "Okay, your time is expired. You are now free. And now you can do what you can have fun now." And so that feeling of just being free in your house as a kid cannot compare, hallelujah, to when we realize how free Jesus had made us. Even before we get to heaven, we got to realize it now that we are totally free. We have been liberated. We are now back and right standing with God, where we can come boldly before the throne of God. The saints couldn't go their own way back to the Holy of Holies. They were limited on what they can do. But when Jesus died on the cross, hallelujah, the curtain was ripped in half. So now, come on in. Woo! Now we've been made in right standing with God Almighty, where we can come anytime we feel like it. Now you can't go to Biden anytime you wish. You can't go to camp every time you're ready. But God Almighty, who owns everything. Do we really fathom what that really looks like? Like the one who owns everything, we have access to him. That when things ain't going right, we say, hey, Dad, what's up? It's kind of rough today. Can you do something about this? Can you do something about this? And God is so good that he'll do it. I mean, we've been without air conditioning, but you can't tell. It's been so cool in here right now. We have no air in the gym, and we had a basketball tournament. And what, Saturday morning when I got there to open up, around 6:30, I was like, I mean, the wind blowing in. It was so cool in there. People complained about how cold it was. But that's how God do it. And people who know the circumstances came to me and tell me, ain't God good? You see how God done worked this thing out? I mean, the temperature was really cool. And Sunday, we were in here, and nobody can tell anyway. I know God is so, I mean, he's so faithful. When he said he allowed the sun to stand still for Joshua, there ain't no fairy tale. He's still working miracles. He's still doing stuff, right? And so we have access to that God. And it's because of what Jesus did. He couldn't do it. Mama couldn't do it. She loved me to life, but she couldn't do it. Daddy couldn't do it. No matter who it is, could not do what Jesus did. And they wouldn't have done it. Somebody say, oh, even for a good man, some people won't die. But your enemy, Jesus died for us. So when we look at how verse 12 was that we did last week, to say, therefore give these verses loose connection with the previous section of sin and death are almost personalized here. We're talking about the contrast of one bringing sin and one brought death. Adam brought sin, which was death, and God and Jesus brought life, right? And so it says, and almost, let me see. Sin, reign, and death, just as the Greek heifer said, introduced a long and difficult Greek sentence, the main comparisons are clear, but some of the detail leads into interpretation to be different opinions. Paul was thinking of how both the first Adam and the last Adam have a universal significance for humanity. Interpreters are divided over the phrase because all sin. The two major interpretations are, one, all men committed sin and therefore died, and somehow all humans sin in Adam. The second view is more likely that it entails either that Adam was the federal head of the race and acted on behalf of us all, or Adam was a similar head of the race and was, however, and we were somehow in him. And when you think about, and I had a question in my head, and you know, I question stuff, but and maybe you may not never question this. How is it? Or why? And it's maybe not for me to know. That when Adam sinned, all mankind after Adam was born in sin. When Jesus died for our sins, why is it every mankind and when Adam sinned, we didn't choose whether we were going to be born in sin. We were just born in sin. When Jesus died for our sins, to reconcile us back to God. Why is it all of us are not reconciled back to God? Let me hear you.
Now that we have, you know, that choice to be, you know, come to Him. Otherwise, when they say all has sinned, you have to go back and change that. If it's born into sin, if you still coming through humankind's blood, which was added to blood. So, yeah, like you said, human beings, and so that the blood is sinful. That's why some people don't take even blood transfusions and some different you know, religions think they don't do that because they don't want to mix. I mean, their blood is still sinful. They want to take their own blood, but still, because of that, and so.
Go ahead.
You know, like if you have like a bag of apples, and then you got one in there that is ripe, that's contamination. So you know, when Adam sinned, he did contaminate the whole race. So therefore, if you don't remove that rotten apple out of the way, it's gonna contaminate everything that is in the bag. So when that apple got removed, Christ came on the scene to reconcile. That just came to my mind when you started.
Why is it Adam's act
Jesus died. Now we have to choose.
I think I don't know your name.
Elder,
forgive me.
Elder Heath.
Oh. Elder Heath. Yeah. Okay, I can tell from the face. Nice hair though. Elder Heath. I think she heard it right when she said about the blood. You know, it was all about the blood. Even when the first murder was, he said the blood, you know, spoke to him. So it's something about the blood that is transferred through the bloodline. You know, somebody may have diabetes, and then they're transferred. That sin, generational curses are transferred through the bloodline. So we needed someone in the bloodline. So here comes Jesus, you know, half flesh and fully divine, coming and to be the only one who could make that change for us, who could get us back to the original state. And it had to be His blood, the perfect lamb blood, the human blood of Jesus that hit the mercy seat, that hit the mercy seat. You know what I'm saying? That it couldn't have been just Him being divine, but it had to be Him also human. It had to be human and divine that would atone for the sin that Adam had committed. And by we being His descendants, are born into that same sin. But when Jesus came, we have individual rights to accept Jesus as our Savior. So we don't have to continue to pass on that same bloodline. We're in a new family. We have our engrafted in, and we have our Heavenly Father. So it does away with all the generational curses that we received from Adam. But sometimes we don't get rid of the curses because we do not claim our inheritance from our new family. And our new family said, you know, that blood of Jesus says that we don't have to carry the curses of our ancestors any longer.
Now let me just say this before you go. The word talks about must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, that's a cross for everyone. And then that's a cross for me. And that's all of us to say there's a cross for me. So So Jesus himself had to make a choice to go on and down the cross. He chose, and he was going to choose, but he chose to down the cross. So I believe that now we are put in that place of making a choice. But let me tell you, when you're talking to unsaved people, they talk that they say that. You know, they believe in that when Jesus died, then now they are born again because Jesus then died. You know, Jesus then died on the cross and rose from the dead. They understand what Butterfield just talked about. Adam died. I mean, Adam sinned, and then we was all made sinners. So now why would we think Jesus done died and rose again? Why we wasn't all made free? So some people think that we should be all made free, but that is not the case.
Just
you have to choose.
Yeah. Just wanted to put a side note from what the sister said. Jesus had, he didn't have human blood. He was 100%, you know, the incarnation from the Father. He didn't have his Joseph or bloodline. He
right.
was nothing. Mm-hmm. Yes, it had to be his pure, holy blood that cleansed us. So it wasn't. He didn't have a mixture of half human and half divine. But now he came in the form of man. He had the flesh that, you know, he was a priest that, you know, that he could relate to our infirmities and he could feel pain. Otherwise, if it was human blood that went to the cross, then we would not be saved. There's no salvation in that. And I just wanted to put that, yep, the side note so we would, you know, stay on that, that he was 100%, you know, blood from the Father. So.
That's dealing with the blood, right?
Yes.
Because
yes,
he was made
about
human.
He
took on human.
Yeah, no blood came through her.
Right.
So, in the birth of a child, mother does not give the child.
You want to get
DNA or whatever, you got to get.
But he was incarnate. He was put in there by the Holy Spirit. So there was nothing that he had but the flesh. I think that's what she was saying.
Actually,
not quite. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is that we get half our DNA from our mother and half from our father. It is, look it up. It is. I'm a nurse, and I do know. And I've had this thing going where my blood and my children's father's blood didn't have the same Rh factor in our blood.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is negative, which is a rare type, and his was positive. So when we had three children together, so out of the three children, there was one whose Rh factor was like mine, negative. And they didn't have any problems. And there were two who were born with positive Rh factors, like their father. And they had a problem when they were born, you know, with the bilirubin and stuff like that. And they were in neonatal ICU when they were born because of that. And because I didn't take any preventative things to for the blood to mix like that, that we do get DNA from our mothers. It's not just our fathers, you know.
Absolutely.
We do.
So you and your husband both believe, so you were mixing that humanity with that. So that's what I'm saying, because Jesus came to the incarnate and was placed, and there wasn't any mixture. God had to see to that his blood was 100% divine and pure, that it could save, it could recompense, and so therefore it could not be spoiled by human factoring of DNA. Mary's blood was contaminated.
That he was a perfect lamb. It couldn't be, he couldn't have sinned and still been the sacrifice for the world. He had to be the perfect lamb, the only perfect person that ever walked.
Yes,
you know, he was tempted in ways that we are tempted. He had humanness, like we have humans. He went through everything that we went through. He went through rejection. We went through rejection.
Yeah, yeah.
And you hit him, he hurt. You hit us, we hurt. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like he didn't know, you know, what we're going through, because he went through the same thing or even worse mm-hmm. than what we do.
Okay, and I thought that's what you were trying to say from the very beginning, was that the human part, which
yeah.
he did have the human part. Okay, come on, y'all.
When Adam sinned in the garden, that was in God's eyes disobedience. And when that happened, Adam changed from God to Lucifer, Satan, whatever his name was at the time, obeying him. And God got angry with man. The Bible said, and sin was imputed to Adam. So that means that since Adam and everybody that's going to come after Adam was made of the same thing, we had to make a decision. And that decision that Adam made was disobedience, which led to sin, which led to them getting kicked out. They made a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God lets us make a choice.
Yeah.
He is not going to force himself on. And when they got kicked out of the garden, it was more for mankind salvation, because if they'd have stayed in the garden, they would have stayed in so many years and died with that sin and not have a redeemer.
Right.
So in Leviticus, it says that as the blood cleanses the flesh,
mm-hmm.
so shall the blood cleanse the spirit. So there can be no redemption of sin without the shedding of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus came and died on the cross, the Bible says that now God is no longer angry with man
mm-hmm.
since Jesus came and straightened that mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God made it clear that we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior,
mm-hmm.
or you can go your way and serve other gods. That's why it's one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other God before me.
Mm-hmm.
See, in that time, there were all kind of gods and idols and stuff like that. Some religions still do it. But God said, thou shalt have no other God
mm-hmm.
before me. We have gods now. Some people's gods are your house,
mm-hmm.
your car, the career,
mm-hmm.
the gods that thou shalt have no other God before.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus came along, God says, I am no longer angry with man, because I gave them
another way out.
Now you can choose it, or you can
mm-hmm.
you can do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
Do your own thing. But sin was imputed to all mankind, which means that everybody come through that same mold, is gonna go through the same thing. That's why I say Job 14:1, a man that's born of a woman, his days are few and they're filled with trouble. Some of us can relate to that statement, even when we're saved or not.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus came along, just like it said here, when we were yet in our sin, he died for us.
Mm-hmm.
Giving us a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Giving us another chance. God don't want to get back to heaven when we all get there and Satan run around being accused. Oh, Job don't like you. He just likes what you gave him. Mm-hmm. You take that hedge from away from him, and he'll curse you to your face.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God don't want to face that again. So
mm-hmm.
when we get to where we're going to go, whatever job we're going to get,
mm-hmm.
God's going to remember the book
mm-hmm.
that our name's mm-hmm. been written into.
All right. Okay.
That was it.
I was gonna
go with that.
Okay.
When sin came, Adam was man. So everything was in Adam. Everything that was made was in Adam, right? And so whatever he did, it it comes out of him. So if he's sin, that's what sin came out of, right? But when Jesus came, he didn't come to represent man. He was not the spokesman for man. He was God. So he came to redeem, not to fix, to redeem. And so what Adam did as the man, the human race, that's what Adam did. He represented the human race. When he sinned, whatever he did was put on the human race. When Jesus came to take off what Adam put off. So he had to make a choice on to do that. And he wants to give whoever want to accept what he did a choice. Because you don't want to do something for somebody and they don't want it. That's the worst thing you can do for anybody. You do, you know, sometimes we do things with kids and they really don't want it. They'll take that thing and destroy it. Right? And so God given us a choice if we want to live with him forever or we want to go to hell. Seemed like an easy choice to me, but, you know, maybe it's just me. He said, I put before you life and death. And he gave them the answer, choose. Right? Some folks still don't choose it. And so the other part of that is that when we get saved, he says, promise to our what? Promise to our children and our children's children. So it's still, we can still pass it on, but it's promise. It's a promise. They still have to act on the promise. So it's still a choice. That's what I'm trying to get back to. It's still a choice. So even though, and I begin, you know, think about how our limits, that he did say it's promised to them, but they got a choice to make. See, so you don't want to give you, and the Bible says that you don't want to cast pearls among swines, right? And you know, I used to think about why give something that's precious to a pig, right? But it's more than that. The thing is that pearls will strangle a swine. So in that, God is thinking about the swine, not the pearls. We think about the pearls. Don't put that pearl among those swine. No, but he's thinking about the swine. How could you? You can't benefit the swine with the pearl because it kills them. Right? I mean, God sees things totally different from how we think in our finite mind. Mm-hmm. And so God gives us choice. That do you want to be saved? I present this to you. I'm giving you the answer to it. You make a decision. And so anytime you love, and it's based on love, anytime you love, you want it to be a willing. You want it to be something that, not that you pay for this love, not that you are convinced somebody to love you or buy that love, it ain't going to last. It ain't really love, right? So God wants us to love him just because. For God so loved the world, he gave. But because he did that, we need to love him. Mm-hmm. And love Jesus more, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're about to get into a verse.
Is everybody clear? Because definitely we want to get to the verse, but we're trying to get understanding.
Well, I think it's important that you said, he was sent. I know you're saying that he came. He was sent. Jesus was sent by God. But I think it's important that you say he came as God.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You know, Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. And Emmanuel means God with us. And that's why I was on the track with if he is God, and I know he is God with us, then he would need that salvific blood flow that could bring salvation,
mm-hmm.
that could not be tainted by man. If he is God, he can't walk around with
you know, human blood, because it wouldn't be salvation. It wouldn't save, you know, unto righteousness.
And that would separate him from God.
That's what
Adam did.
Even taking upon the sins on the cross, God had to turn from him, and that was the flesh stuff. So,
even on the cross, when he took on our sin, God had to separate.
And
that's why he said, not Father, but he said, my God, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Because now he no longer have that relationship. So he says, my God, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Because now no longer he's the son. Because sin is on him now.
Sin is on.
And so that's the dreaded part that Jesus didn't want to face in the garden. He'd never been separated from his dad. And all of a sudden, he's going to have to do it. If there's another way. Let's work that out. If there's another way. Nevertheless,
when Jesus was saying, my God, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He had to, because in Hebrews 4:15 says we have not a high priest that cannot feel the infirmities of his people. In all points, he was tempted just like we were. So when he felt that on the cross, he felt the last point of what man felt like or would feel like without having a Savior. That's why he said, why have thou forsaken me? And, you know, the night before he was in the garden praying, and Moses and Elijah came to him. They were trying to encourage him not to give up as they did, because Moses did not finish his mission that God told him to finish. Elijah did not finish his mission, so they were encouraging Jesus. Don't stop. Don't give up. Look at what's at hand. If you give up, all that's been done is lost. And the Bible said after he did all this sweating and crying and praying, the angels came to him and strengthened him. I believe that's what gave him the fortitude to go on rest of the way. Well, if angels came to him, they
come to us.
If we call him.
Yeah, Jesus.
But the Bible says that the angels hearken to the voice, to the word of the voice of God. So when we call them and when we speak the word and all this stuff and give angels instruction, they're going to do it because of the voice of the word of God. So when you could be at a traffic light or a car and hit you, oh, Jesus, angel. Now, I'm quite sure many of us have had situations where you're like, whoo, thank you, angel. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I thank all of them. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
That bumblebee didn't sting me in my head. All that kind of, you know.
First created man, there was no sin because he said everything was made good. Okay, now when Adam was in the garden, Adam was seen through the spiritual. I'm going to look at it through the spiritual eye. But when he began to sin, when he sinned, that's when these natural eyes became open. And I'm right about that, right? I just want to make sure I'm right. I have
knowledge of good and evil.
I read on
all her. Adam had before was God. He didn't have good or evil. All he had was God. So that's why they could meet in the cool of the day. To me, because on one of them. So he didn't know what evil looked like. when he took the fruit of the tree, that's why it was called fruit of the tree.
It was there.
It was there, but
there.
Was not in
it was
the
there.
Where I'm going with this is this right here. Yeah, we do have free will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a choice that he made that messed
mm-hmm.
up the whole race because of the choice that he made. And sometimes when we're not looking through the spiritual eyes and we're looking through these lies, we always get in trouble. We can, I can mess up and do something and land my whole family in a world of trouble. So that's why I was going with that, because when God first created, I know everything was, it was good. It was good. And then, you know, a lot of time when we get in trouble, then we begin to say to the Lord, Lord, it's because of that man you gave me. If you had not gave me that man, I wouldn't be in this trouble. It's because of where the condition that I'm living in. Yeah.
Okay. A lot of times we blame Adam or Eve for our sin condition, but if we're just honest with ourselves, we chose to sin. You know, even though we were born in a sin nature, we had a choice of whether to sin or not. And one of the things that the Lord was telling me about, was talking to me about today, you know, before I came here, that when we're in temptation, as they were, only thing that a lot of times that the enemy tries to, he lies to us, he tries to blind us, that only thing we feel is the temptation, our lust or our greed or whatever that is, and God. Those are the only two things that we see. One of the things that the Lord was telling me is after you pass that test that you choose God, that God reveals to you what you actually lost. Because a yes to one thing is a no to something else. I don't care what it is. When you said yes to your wife, you said no to all other women. When you say, you know, anything, when the enemy comes and he tries to get you off on something, whether we think of it as a little sin or a big sin, it's all sin.
Mm-hmm.
That only thing that we will remember during that time period is, are we going to do it or are we going to obey God?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only two things. You're going to know that during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not until afterwards, whether you pass it or whether you flunk it, well, you're going to know what you gave up,
mm-hmm.
giving in or
mm-hmm.
not giving.
Right.
And giving in to that. Not, and God does it. And one of the
mm-hmm.
things, I was, you know, in a situation, and I didn't know what to do. So I'm praying through it, tempted and praying. And then I said, no, I lose too much of doing something the wrong way than doing it the right way. And so I chose God. It was after then that the Lord told me, say, now you qualify for this and that anointing. I said, Lord, what's a this and that anointing? He said, because you chose this, you're not going to receive that. And now you're going to know what that is because of what you chose.
Man.
So, you know,
that's
we have to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pass the test, and then we'll know better what it entails or what we lost.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That is very important right there. That is.
Have something to say.
Okay, let me say this as he comes. But that is so important, what you are saying right there, is because we already know we're going to have temptation. But temptation is not a sin.
Amen.
When you yield to the temptation, what makes it a sin? So that's a good point right there that you just
Amen.
Shared.
Ella Lewis, you're not live on the air. Ella Lewis?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. One quick thing I just wanted to add, and I was listening, and Elder Davis was talking about how the scripture that says that when a man born of a woman is only here a few days and they're full of trouble. My mother used to always say that, and I used to wonder why she would say that. And I guess being at the age I am now, and I understand what she means by that. And I think that, and then the thought came to me while you all were talking, that a lot of folks, and I'm just going to have to put it plain, ain't had enough hell scared out of them to make the right decision, you know. So, I mean, it's I think that's true, because you think about it. I mean, you look at life and you look at so many of the ills and the problems and things that you see, that folks figure they can do whatever they want to do, and there are no repercussions for it, you know. So, mm-hmm. So when you think about it, I mean, that goes back to when you think about it, no God, no peace. You know, they don't know enough of God to realize, though, that the judgment day is coming, and that for whatever mm-hmm. actions they do or actions they take, there's going to be a repercussion for that. So, mm-hmm. you know, so to know the Lord and know that, you know, God is not the author of confusion, but he's a God of peace and righteousness, you know, that knowing helps you make the right decisions in your life. So.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So God is not awesome. Thank you so much. So God is not forcing anything on us. He's not forcing anything on us. He's given us the free will to choose whom you will serve. He's given me the answer. I put before you life and death. I'm encouraging you to choose life. But that doesn't mean everybody's going to be going to choose it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's presenting it
mm-hmm.
that is available because the
mm-hmm.
price
mm-hmm.
that Jesus paid is now available
mm-hmm.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's talking earlier about how that we're going to do this to Adam and all that kind of stuff. And we know better because of Adam. And we still failing the test. We know because of Adam, because of Moses, because everybody who failed in this body. Because what that journey told us, we have a written chronological information on how they failed. And guess what? I mean, you know somebody walking in a ditch. Somebody going down that street, that's a ditch. You're going, boom. You're going right into it. You know. So we can't criticize Adam. Man. They ain't had no Bible. They ain't had nothing to go by. But they had the presence of God. We got the same thing. That's why Paul is writing to this Roman church. We all on one level. ain't nobody have advantage on nobody else. All have sinned. We're on a level plane, but we all have the same.
Talking, I was thinking about the thing my dad used to say. He's a scientific man, but he used to say too, and I think it's whatever great scientist quote from the scientist say, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. That's one thing that we forget when all his sin and so mm-hmm. we're talking about the this and the that.
Yeah.
For every action, it's a scientific, I don't know if that was Galileo or whoever, but there's a Socrates, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When Adam sinned, it brought death.
Mm-hmm.
That took away the life.
Yeah.
That's why he had to move them out of the garden so they don't take anything from the field.
Mm-hmm.
If he had done that, he'd be doomed forever.
Another
thing that I love about God is not like we are, even though he gave us a choice. Now, he can say, okay, Ollie, you did not choose me, so I won't be blessing you. I'm through with you. It's over with. You're not in my flock. But no, even though he gave me a choice, he's going to still love me. He's still going to bless me. So, you know, he is so awesome. And I'm so glad that he's not like me.
Because if you did something to me real bad, I'd probably say, hey, it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
But not with God.
Mm-hmm.
He
yeah.
still leaves the door open if I want to walk through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
About Adam and Eve, naked, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We are tempted all the day long.
Mm-hmm.
And we get it wrong. If we're honest, we get it wrong a lot of times, you know. And God still forgives us and everything. But it's an ongoing process. You don't just choose God one time, come to the altar. I chose God one time. It's from the time you leave that altar, the enemy is going to be right after you. Because, like I say, when you're a Christian, you got a target on your back. He know already he can't reach your mind, but he can read your spirit. And he knows because he's spiritual. He knows that, okay, she's still dealing with it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? So I'm going to present this to her and see if she falls. Because that's his
mm-hmm.
job to make you fall. The war is for souls. You know, we talk about Ukraine and everything, but we're in a spiritual war all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes we forget that. You
yeah.
know, we have little things with each other, but mm-hmm. we're not each other's enemies. You know, we're the side that sometimes we'll kill from somebody from friendly fire, but the enemy is not so. They regimented and they're in line. You know, we have to know who our enemy is, you know. And it's so good that this is a prophetic house. But you know who a lot of times, I'm not talking about this house, let me say that, I'm not talking about the light of the world, I'm just speaking
mm-hmm.
church in general. A lot of times we have prophets who are in the house or on the house or talking about people on the house. But on Mount Carmel, who did one prophet go against? He even went against Baal. That's the enemy. Sometimes we forget who the enemy is. We need to go after Baal. If you're a real man or woman of God and everything, you're not only just looking at what your sisters and brothers doing in the house. You know what you're doing? You're looking to see that witch that came in. So
mm-hmm.
you're going to read your sister, but you don't know that a witch came in. You got to read the spirit correctly and know you have to have discernment. And that's what the gift in the body is for protection also. It does not for attack each other, keep each other, you know, bound and keep each other, well, you don't do this again. You know, it's not that. It's correction also, but it's exhortation and it's protection. You know, people come in and they'll destroy the church. And I mean like guns or something like that or something, but you have to know who the spirit is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to kill the person. You can kill the spirit.
Yeah. All right. All right. Kill the spirit. Kill that spirit. Ooh, I like that. Kill that spirit.
You were saying too, that's so correct about, you know, him being a spirit and Satan, you know, don't send him. He can't tell you your future and what you're going to do. But because he's spirit in the spirit world, and he's reading that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it comes in, the scripture that talks about no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That Arabic or that word, the Hebrew, that formation is the same word that was used in Genesis with
mm-hmm.
when God he formed us out of the depth of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So because he knows you still have that habit or that
mm-hmm.
temptation,
right.
that formation
yeah.
he puts upon you
yeah.
in the way of temptation.
Right.
And then that's when you can say, oh
mm-hmm.
no, I recognize this,
right.
that no weapon
mm-hmm.
formed against me shall prosper.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. And you say you're not going to yield to that. Mm-hmm. That's
and started spine tick come through. And I said, man, I said, you know, the Bible said it was, you know, because I said, are you here to work out or are you here to fuck? But, you know, it's just we're an interesting how everything is to jump. You know,
mm-hmm.
jump
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to persuade him.
You're going to persuade him. Yeah. Well, it ain't nothing like having another person, a spirit-filled individual that's in your corner. You don't even know it.
Oh, yeah.
But yet and still, you're not going along with the deal.
Oh, no.
You try and tell them something that's right. That is really good.
Right, right.
Isn't that good? Yeah. Set an example. No, you ain't. Did you read the scripture? We asked that question, and we've been rolling on that.
So. To know though, and sometimes people use it. She was saying something about how people would see things and would attack their brothers and sisters. If God show you anything about me, not right, it's not for you to talk about. It's not for you to gossip about. It's for you to pray for me. God ain't showing you me so you can talk. That's Satan. He showed you something that this brother needs some help. Right? He ain't showing you so you can have a peace so you can, man, do y'all know about a peace? No. He ain't show you that for that. If we understand the mind of God, how God works, when we hear that trap, that trap coming out of our mind, we say, that ain't God. And you know, sometimes some people, based on their nature, they love to talk. You know, they always, But when you Holy Ghost feel, Holy Ghost will put a brake on you.
Yeah.
You know you don't need to be saying. And sometimes you can open your mouth to about say it. We got to be spirit led no matter what, because we need to do things that's profitable, that's going to help somebody. I mean, if you talk about me, how's that helping me? And it ain't helping you either. Because Satan said, "Yeah, I got it working out."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You are definitely telling the truth, because when we mess up and we in the church, we get around our faith, people talking about stuff in the church. And what that's doing is keeping the unsaved person out of the church.
Definitely.
And I don't understand people. Sometimes I be around people and they just be running their mouth. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Let me.
Many, we don't come to church, but many home won't come to church because the wives get home. And you should see so-and-so. You should see. And they did. So what? And in his head, he's like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they come home, they're talking and talking and talking. Mm-hmm. And that man said, I ain't going nowhere. You don't need to be there. You know what I'm saying? But if you come home telling them how good things is, he going to see you that happen. He wants to, hey, let me come and check out what's going on over there. But you get all these always got a bad news. Why you want to come? So we got to make sure that whatever we do or say is profitable. And we are kingdom people. We are kingdom. If you're taking away from somebody, that is not godly. Only thing you take away is bad habits from. If you're going to take away something. Hey, man, so I don't know what we want. Verse 19. 14?
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So next week, hopefully we get to study that verse, because I'm telling you, there's some deep stuff in this verse.
What verse is that?
14, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam transgressing.
like his prototype of the coming one. And so think about it now. Some folks didn't sin like Adam sinned. Okay, all right. Yeah. So let's dig into that. And but the gift is not like the trespass, for if by the one trespass that the many died, how much more have the grace of God and the gift overflowed to the many by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's why God knows we're going to mess up. And he gives us new mercies every day. Oh, my God. New mercies every day. And we don't have no excuse. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on and clap your hands with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for what is left. And we pray that you've gotten something out of it. And like I say, we're not here to read scriptures. We're here to study it and get deep down in what the word is saying to us so we can get better. We can be more and a greater example for this world today. Because I'm telling you, this world is wicked. Like they say in Jamaica, wicked. It's wicked. And so we need to make sure that we're praying and we're getting everything we can get from God so we can give to them. Amen? And so let us thank God for Pastor Ann so we can do our offering, and then we'll be dismissed. Sorry for holding y'all so long. Amen. Those of you online who want to give your offering, please send your text to Pastor Ann by 770-906-0607. And let her know the amount that you give so she can record it for a noonday Bible study. Thank God for your giving. Amen. The Bible says you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Amen. And God will have us sure that you will be one of those men that give to somebody's bosom. Amen. And we thank God for this lesson. Thank God for all of you faithful for being here today. And we bless God for Bible study tonight, purpose-driven life. Come and get some. And if you don't know your purpose, you're gonna be abusing yourself. If you bought a blow dryer and you think it's to cook with, you're gonna abuse that thing at once. Amen. So you know what your purpose is, so we can make sure we live a fulfilled life. Amen. So all hearts and minds are clear. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Okay. Let us stand as we pray. Pastor Simmons. All hearts and minds clear. Father God, we thank you for this day. God, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, God, that you are God who hears and you answers prayer. God, we ask you right now to go to Pastor Simmons right now. You know exactly how he feels. You know what you need to say. You know what you need to do that encourage his heart to get him through this situation he's dealing with, Lord God. Oh, God, you say you'll dry our tears away. God, comfort his heart right now. In the name of, it's going to take a miracle. It's going to take your miracle-working power to give him the strength he needs.
Yes.
To give him the peace he needs. Oh, God, know that you never make a mistake, God, but we know that it hurts anyway. So, God, we ask you to touch him right now in the name of Jesus. Touch him where only you can, God.
Yes.
Oh, God, that he would get the peace that surpasses all understanding. He don't know why he's so peaceful during these times, God. Do it for him, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, we believe you're doing it. We believe it's done in the name of Jesus. God, dismiss us from this place, God. We ask you to bless Bible study tonight, God.
Yes.
Let us be on fire, God, that we would know you so much more. In the name of Jesus, we are finding our purpose, God. We are living. We are walking it in Jesus' name. God, dismiss us from this place.
but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen, amen.
Go in peace. We thank God for you, and especially you.